everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, I think we're going to weather, another heat advisory or whatever. It gets to the point, we're going to have to deal with these heat advisories like last year through October.
We're going to weather it.
Yeah, we're going to weather it.
I get it. I get it. Weather it. Okay, I got it.
Try to somehow.
However,
yes,
you're not going to want to hear this.
Tell me.
We might see 110 degrees again, maybe by Thursday.
I saw them hinting at that.
I'm hoping they are overly pessimistic.
Yeah, they put out that summary, the National Weather Service, and they were kind of hinting at that high pressure really building in to go to 110. I hope that is put off a little longer. Anyway, and again, and I've talked about this on the show, we're in, I think it's the fourth now longest stretch of time without any rain in Tucson. I mean, we had a very productive rainy winter, but then like April 2nd, it's off. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. And we are, we've got five radio stations now under one roof. The newest acquisition, very popular station called The Drive. I know I listen to it when I'm out in my car. I listen to KVOI, of course, too, but five radio stations under one roof here. This one's KVOI 1030 The Voice. And we are in our, 13 and a half years with our radio show. And before that, I did 22 years over on Channel 6. So that means 36th year in Tucson broadcasting. We have our worldwide live listening. In other words, you can listen to the program live anywhere in the world by going to my website, buckmastershow.com. We have the live stream. We take that from kvoi.com. We also have podcasts from our program going back to the first week of January. Well, it was January 2011 when we launched the program. Actually did the last interview with Gabrielle Giffords. That was the Thursday of that week. And, of course, the terrible tragedy was that Saturday. But all of that's archived. We've got all that material at buckmastershow.com. Our media partners, these are shout-outs, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith and his team, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. And I'm going to add one here, Caitlin Schmidt. I'm adding the Tucson Agenda.
Wonderful.
You guys are, we've working out an agreement where people will see the agenda logo and a link on at buckmastershow.com, and then you guys have a link over to my place. So great to see you.
Happy to partner with you.
Caitlin Schmidt is my co-host today. On Friday, we try to bring in a media co-host, and Caitlin, along with my friend Kurt Prendergast, two former Star employees, have done so well with the Tucson Agenda. When did it start, the Agenda?
We launched last July 4th, so we're getting close to our first birthday.
And rather than me characterize it, you summarize it for our listeners, what it is.
So we are a daily newsletter and online website, and we focus on local government, politics, and the news that you need to stay civically engaged, whether that means run for office or simply just know what you need to know when you go to the polls to vote.
And you, like this week, you're covering, today you were covering the Marana elections. I mean, some of these elections are kind of off the radar screen for a lot of people, but you guys are looking into it, which is great. I do want to mention that Caitlin won many awards, including when she was at the Star, 2019 Arizona Sports Writer of the Year by the National Sports Media Association for her ongoing coverage of gender-based violence in the University of Arizona Athletic Department. So Caitlin, as we say, didn't get off the bus yesterday. All right, our Friday Focus interview today, and she is with us on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. She's very busy and a lot of activities going on up in Phoenix. So we asked Arizona Corporation Commissioner Leah Marquez Peterson to join us on the live line. Leah is the first Latina to serve in a statewide seat in the state of Arizona and the only commissioner of the five-member board not based in the Phoenix area. Lee is the former president and CEO of the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. Among the mission goals of the ACC to ensure safe and reliable, affordable utilities, facilitate incorporation of businesses and organizations, securities regulation, and railroad and pipeline safety, Arizona is one of only seven states with a constitutionally formed commission. It's one of only 13 states with elected commissioners. In only 37 states, commissioners are appointed by either, I should say, in the other 37 states, commissioners appointed by either the governor or the legislature. Hey, Leah, how are you?
Good, Bill. Good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm actually going to turn it over to Caitlin because, Caitlin, we're talking before the interview, and she said, you know, most people probably have no idea about the Arizona Corporation Commissioner. And I think, Caitlin, right, you wanted to kind of frame that question.
Yeah. Hi, Leah.
Hi there. And I read the Tucson Agenda, too. So it's great to meet you on over the line.
Thank you so much for your support. So one of the things I think we struggle with as journalists when it comes to reporting on government is being able to sum up quickly and easily what you all do. But I bet you get asked all the time what you do for a living and what the Corporation Commission does. So what's the short elevator answer that you have prepared that you rattle off a lot, I imagine?
Yeah, I do. I mean, especially in the heat of the summer, I'm talking about how we ensure that energy is reliable at the most affordable rates. I summarize it in that regard. If they give me more time or it's a longer elevator ride, you know, we're regulating electricity and water and gas and wastewater and all the items that, that Bill mentioned. But most folks know us for our energy regulation, and we're statewide.
Leah, let me ask you about the big fear that all of us living here in Arizona have in this. Well, I guess maybe not as much of a fear if you're up in Flagstaff or somewhere, but it can get really hot up there, too. We worry about the AC going out this time of year.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at some of these other areas that are already having issues this summer. Denver, recently, 50,000 customers went offline because of high winds. Texas now is starting to really struggle with reliability. What would you say about what kind of shape are we in here in Arizona this summer?
We are in very good shape. I talk about this publicly in different forums all across the state, because we're laser focused on ensuring that energy is reliable. I mean, we're preparing for this summer way in advance. We have summer preparedness meetings. We bring in all the electric utilities and the gas utilities to talk about what they're doing in terms of procuring or creating energy to fill the needs over the summer. We're looking at peak times when everybody's using air conditioning, which is almost 24/7 right now during this heat. And also all the new economic development going on and electric vehicle utilization. So with all those new users on our grid, how are we ensuring reliability? We also, I'm the past chair of our commission, we launched an energy reliability summit to even go beyond the summer. So how do we look at this summer and the next summers coming up? How are we preparing? We are facing just incredible growth in Arizona as well as these intense heat. So we're very focused on it. We've actually put a moratorium in place. I wanted to make sure I mention this. We did this during COVID, but June 1st through October 15th, folks cannot get disconnected for non-payment because we know it's life and death in Arizona if you don't have air conditioning in certain parts of the state. So they still owe the payment. They'll need to work out payment plan with the utility, so they should call their utility first, but they can't be disconnected. And we think that's important to spread that message throughout the state.
So is that formalized now? Repeat that for me. Is this in writing now?
Yes. So it's we put it in place in 2020, but whether you're a TEP customer or Trico or APS up in the Phoenix area, you cannot be disconnected for non-payment June 1st through October 15th. You will have to work out a payment plan. We have some programs for low-income families and so on, but we know how vitally important it is to have your electricity working, especially during the heat of summer.
How would that work if someone was struggling to pay a bill? Would they call the utility and say, I just can't pay the bill this month? Or does someone from the utility do they reach out if a payment is missed? How does that work?
The very first place to do is to call your utility, tell them you're having trouble. There are utility assistance programs in Pima County. It's through the Pima County One Stop Center, where there are rental assistance, utility assistance, lots of different programs. But I'd say the very first step is call your utility and let them know what's going on.
Here's Caitlin Schmidt from The Agenda.
Yeah, you know, we do have a great, robust utility assistance programs, but we are also seeing all of our local governments belt tightening because of all these pandemic funds going away. Is there any indication that utility assistance might be a byproduct of this or might get hit?
It's a good question. The utility assistance program is funded by a program called LIHEAP, which is federal. So we're always advocating for additional dollars for heating and electric cooling low-income programs. That's what that stands for. So I don't think it's really a reflection of the local community budgets or the state budgets. We also have our utilities who are privately owned, investor-owned, but they're putting some of their own shareholder money into those buckets also to assist their customers. So certainly we always need more money. There's always a lot of need, but I don't see a risk of losing our utility assistance programs.
So did customers of TEP catch a break on high summer bills this year?
Well, a bit. I mean, we are continuing to, because they're a regulated market, unlike Texas, we could talk about the difference, but we regulate these monopolies or these utility companies and ensure that they're making the proper capital investment so that we have the energy reliability and the energy needs for the near term and the long term. So TEP customers during their recent rate case or APS during their recent rate case, people are seeing rate increases based on the investment that those companies made over the last year or 2 years since their last rate case. But as utility regulators on the commission, we're doing our very best to keep rates as affordable, low as possible, and have gradual impact. So I think we're in very good shape. Actually, Arizona's electricity prices are about 8% less than the national average. We're certainly way less than California. Those are some of the highest prices in the country. So I think we're in very good shape. No one obviously ever likes to see a rate increase, but we're really focused on making sure that if there are rate increases, that there are gradual impacts.
Let me ask you about these giant, I call them the giant sequoia trees of power poles that may be coming to a neighborhood in Tucson. Can the ACC, the Arizona Corporation Commission, have any say in this matter that is involving right now Tucson Electric Power and the city of Tucson? Where does the ACC, what role do you guys play?
Yeah, we play an important role. So our commission has created, it's actually through a statute, but created a line siting committee that we appoint volunteers to. And there are folks from all around the state that serve on the line siting committee. They go through hearings, which they're doing right now for TEP, public comment session. They're getting input from folks in communities in which transmission lines or interconnection to the grid, another way to describe it, are being proposed. They're looking at different routes. And then they come up with their suggestions and then put it before us on the commission, and we have the final vote. So we're absolutely involved at this point, knee deep in all of the different dialogues and debates going on, because I certainly hear from those living in Tucson. The line siting committee is really the place for people to engage and attend public hearings and so on.
All right. We have Leah Marquez Peterson with us from the Arizona Corporation Commission. Caitlin Schmidt is here from Tucson Agenda. And on our live line, Debbie has called with a question. Go ahead, Debbie. You're with Leah Marquez Peterson.
Hi there, Leah. I was wondering, is the ACC at all involved with the internet? And if it's not, do you think it ever will be?
Oh, thank you. That is a good question. I get a lot of calls from folks asking about their cell phone bills or data and so on, and we don't regulate that. We handle limited jurisdiction in telecommunications. We do landlines. We also ensure 911 service is operating properly. But we don't manage the internet. That is likely the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, that's overseeing data and cell phone service.
You brought up landlines, and I know I'm probably a dinosaur in this area. I still have a landline, along with, of course, a cell phone. But what percentage of Arizonans do you think still have landlines?
You know, I spoke about this to, I think, CenturyLink the other day, and it's dramatically reduced. I don't remember, the number's something like 10 or 15% off the top of my head, very low number. And it's really changed how, you know, phone service exists. I know our family exists on cell phones. We don't have a landline, and so many families have gone that direction. So it's really changed the way we're communicating, certainly.
All right. Why don't we pause right here, take our first break. We'll be back with Leah Marquez-Peterson. Again, if folks want to call in, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management is 790-2040. We'll be back with Leah Marquez-Peterson and Caitlin Schmidt right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. It is hot, yeah, but Green Things is ready to point you in the right, well, I always say this, point you in the right direction. When you get over there, they'll walk you in the right direction over to where you can find some beautiful flowers for your garden that will not actually, well, I mean, that will actually thrive in the heat. All right, Leah Marquez-Peterson is with us on the live line, and Caitlin Schmidt is here from Tucson Agenda, and Bill has called us on line two, and he would like to ask actually a couple of questions of ACC Commissioner Leah Marquez-Peterson. Go ahead, Bill.
They're both somewhat interrelated, but yet they're also separate. One involves, and again, I know Leah and the Corporation Commission is not responsible for all of this, but our electric grid system throughout the U.S. and in, you know, and even here in Arizona is very vulnerable to many various, be it maneuvers, incidents from foreign sources, from internally, terrorism, any of the above. Is anything going to be done concerning that? I know it takes money, and that's been the stumbling block right along, so they say, in Washington and elsewhere. But, you know, Jiminy Crickets, as the expression goes, our country depends on it. And yeah. EMP, it could happen at any time.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great question. Yeah. Go ahead, Leah.
Yeah, I would agree. Thank you, Bill, for the question. So we are absolutely watching cyber and physical security is how we define it in our world. We've had a number of meetings. We've had some national conversations. We've brought in national speakers to the commission. We regulate about 400 utilities. And unfortunately, we've heard stories and we've seen news about people trying to shoot at substations or fly a drone over a nuclear power plant or, you know, certainly cyber attacks. So we are ensuring that the utilities are following their industry's protocols. So whether they're a water utility or a gas or electric utility, that their safety for not only customer information, but also from cyber and physical attacks. In the state of Arizona, you're probably aware, but we have one of the largest nuclear power plants up in the Phoenix area called Palo Verde, and intense coverage and protection there for our nuclear power plant. It does provide about 30% of the energy for the state of Arizona, but we're being very diligent in making sure that the utilities are following all those protocols, and they are. They're very careful and ensuring that you know, we don't want our grid attacked or certainly to have outages because of attacks. A good question. Thank you.
Did Bill have a second question? Because, Bill, we've still got you on the line.
We do need to harden the grid system throughout the country, but in particular where we live here in Arizona, against any EMP or any other electrical solar flares, whatever have you. And we haven't done that yet anywhere that I'm aware of. Texas was thinking of it, but that's a long time ago already.
Leah?
Yeah, and Bill, you're right. There are conversations that occur around that, and EMP can certainly happen from a solar flare or from a nuclear attack or something in that regard in the future. And there are conversations at the national level where that those concerns are discussed and handled. We haven't had that conversation in Arizona. You're right. But we are following the national dialogue related to those threats.
All right. Let's bring Caitlin Schmidt from Tucson Agenda back into the conversation. Go ahead, Caitlin.
I want to shift the focus to solar for a little bit. We are seeing more and more solar panels pop up. Those door-to-door folks are still going around knocking on doors trying to sell solar. I'm curious if there's any efforts to, you know, make that more available to low-income folks, to more affordable housing, the people that maybe need that kind of electric break the most.
Yeah, so good question. I will kind of answer that in two different directions. First, all the solar installation companies, that's probably where I get the top number of questions. People either wanting to know where they should go or they have a complaint about one. And we don't regulate the solar installation companies. We just regulate the utilities. So I would encourage folks listening who want to have solar to do their research, go to Better Business Bureau, go to the Register of Contractors, look at someone's background and experience before they choose an installer and you know, ensure that that's the right fit for their home. On the second part of your question, low income or multifamily housing, yes, I mean, there are programs. I think the cities and the counties have embraced some of that. You see some of the utilities providing programs in that regard. What is the very best for the state to ensure energy reliability at the most affordable rate, which is my elevator pitch, right, is really utility scale solar. You see us cutting ribbons and all these different activities going on with so many utility scale solar and battery projects going on throughout the state. Some counties embrace that. Others are saying, you know, this is too much or it's an eyesore. So we're finding kind of an all of the above approach to what's the best source of energy for different parts of the state. And I think you're going to see more and more utility scale solar because you get better economies of scale at that size than you do the residential solar. But certainly we want to allow residents to still continue to do solar if that's something that they'd like to pursue.
These chip manufacturers that are coming in to the valley up in Phoenix, like the Taiwan group, they must, the power source there, obviously they'll use local power, but it must be tremendous, their needs.
It's incredible. So the largest utility we regulate is called Arizona Public Service. It's up in Phoenix, and they're projecting a 40% increase in energy demand over the next 7 years. Some of that are the chip manufacturers you mentioned, but we're getting a lot of data centers. Think of how often we're using our cell phones and we're using data in the cloud. It's creating an incredible demand for data center build-outs throughout the country, and a lot of them are attempting to come to Arizona because of our population and economic growth. So we're still working through that. You know, how will that work? We need to ensure that the residents that are here, the businesses that are here, are taken care of first and foremost. And then we also look to the economic development and all that activity that's coming sooner than we think. So a lot of the utilities, I think if you were to speak to their CEOs, it would be, how do we meet the energy demands that's coming in the near term?
You know, you mentioned that Arizona has a nuclear power plant. How much power does that generate for us, percentage-wise? It's a pretty substantial chunk, isn't it?
It is. It's 30% of the energy in the state. And interestingly, I actually co-chair a nuclear task force of commissioners throughout the country, and there's a lot of interest and we're doing a lot of research on small modular nuclear reactors and micro reactors. Not cost effective yet, but you've got a lot of tests going on in Wyoming and Idaho and Canada. A lot of companies looking to new technologies. There's a lot of development going on in the energy sector to meet those great demands. And nuclear, I think, is really the future.
How many nuclear power plants are still operating in the United States? Do you have any idea?
Top of my head, I'd say around 90 are still operating. They just opened new units in an existing nuclear power plant in Georgia. It's called Vogtle, and that's the newest one that we've had, and I think it's like 20 years. It really took a longer time than they hoped, and it was over budget. So I don't know if we'll see large nuclear power plants like we have Palo Verde growing in the near future, and I think that's why everybody's looking towards the small modular nuclear reactors instead, because that's much smaller in size. The size of, let's say, a football field versus, if you've seen the Palo Verde nuclear plant, it's a huge plant.
Do you regulate the nuclear power plant in Arizona, or is that the Federal Energy Commission?
Yeah, actually, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, NERC, is the one that regulates the nuclear power plant. But the managing partner of the nuclear power plant is APS, and there are actually seven owners of that plant. Some of them are Arizona utilities. You've got New Mexico, Nevada, some California still involved there. So we are engaged in it, and it's certainly a major power source for us, but they have their own nuclear body at a federal level that regulates them.
All right, let's bring Caitlin back into the conversation. Go ahead, Caitlin.
We are seeing a massive push across the country, but definitely in Arizona, to create housing fast, lots of it. There's a lot of concern that we don't have enough water, that we're not going to be able to keep up with this. Is there any concern that we won't have enough of any other utilities to keep up with all these new homes that we're building?
I mean, you figure for any, whether it's a new housing development or a new economic development project, they need the shovel-ready dirt, they need the energy supply, and they need adequate water supply in order to do that build. So that's the area in which we're focused, is ensuring we have the energy demand needed for the projections that the utilities put forward. And so I think we're in good shape. We're still looking for different solutions. It's the residents are not as large of a demand as the large commercial developments that you're seeing, especially in the Phoenix area. That's the area we're really focused on. And water is complicated. I listened to your show the other day, Bill, when you had Karen Caesar on, who's certainly an expert at this. But we are in pretty good shape in southern Arizona. I mean, we're storing a lot of the water for different parts of the state. Where we get engaged as a corporation commission is the sale of the water, the setting of the rates, the private utility that's serving the community. We don't regulate Tucson water, to be clear, but we regulate about 350 water utilities across the state that are primarily rural. So it really depends, Caitlin, on where those housing developments go. Every region is a different story in terms of water and certainly who's serving them from an energy perspective.
All right, Danny has called us on the live line, and he has a question regarding water. Go ahead, Danny. You're with Leah Marquez-Peterson, Arizona Corporation Commissioner.
Hi, thank you. I just heard on the air that you mentioned that you're not responsible for Tucson water, so that may be my answer. But I asked them if I could apply for low-income assistance, as they advertised in the bill package. And they said they could only do that if I have an appointment by telephone. And you must answer the telephone at a certain specified time. If you miss that call, then you can't apply. They don't send you a form, no alternative. I get so many junk phone calls, I happen to miss the one that they called. So do you have any idea about how to get them to just send me a form to fill out?
Wow, well, that doesn't sound like great customer service, if that's the way it's working. I don't regulate them. I don't know their process, but I would certainly, if you have the internet, go online, because so many programs are done online now, and they might have a more simple process or more efficient process online if it's hard to answer the phone at a certain time. In general, Tucson Water has a great reputation for service, so I'm surprised if it is really challenging, but I unfortunately don't know more about it because I don't regulate them.
Well, that begs the question, who does regulate then Tucson Water?
Yeah, they are a department within the city that is managed by our mayor and city council.
Okay, so if Danny is still listening, I don't know what ward, Danny, you live in the city, but my suggestion would be to call the ward office for the council person in your area and then say that you really need some help with Tucson Water. How's that sound?
Well, I'm out in the county, but I'll call the county supervisors.
Okay. So, do you know what district you are in the county?
Yeah, 5.
Okay. Well, call the District 5 office and see if they could help.
Okay, one more general question about
this.
In your experience, the bill from our water says water and sewer bill. Well, I'm in the county. I've got a septic tank. I don't have anything to do with the sewer system, but that's part of what I'm paying for. Is there any way around that?
That one, I don't know. And maybe, Leah, you don't know, or do you know, Leah?
No, I mean, Pima County manages the wastewater system that we're typically on, depending where you live, and Tucson Water, the water system. So I'm not sure on your particular bill. I suggest you take a picture of your bill or get a copy of that to the county supervisor or city council person as you're working through them to ask that question.
Okay, great. Thank you, Danny, for calling the show. I want to ask about something you brought up earlier. In Texas, they have kind of a different way of handling buying power. The consumer has a kind of a menu of opportunities. They can go with many different companies. Is that possible for Arizona, or would that not be a good thing, Leah?
That's been a debate we've tackled in the commission. Well, I've certainly been on it. It's called deregulation. We had a number of workshops and meetings about this early on. I've been on the commission about 5 years, so I'd say about 4 years ago. And ultimately, it was not seem to make sense for the state of Arizona. As we studied Texas and other states that had been deregulated, I had a lot of concerns with consumer fraud. It would mean that the retail side of electricity would be open, much like cell phone services now. You could have different companies selling you electricity and offering you incentives to go with one over another. And ultimately, 2 winters ago, there was a freeze in Texas that froze a lot of the pipes. And they had major outages. It impacted Arizona, too. That was 2 winters ago. And there was a lot of finger-pointing. Who's responsible for the infrastructure, for the winterization of the natural gas pipeline structure and so on, because they were deregulated? We don't have that issue here because you have got monopolistic utilities. They're highly regulated, and they're regulated by the commission, the body of 5. So we are ensuring that they're making that infrastructure investment so that things are safe and that they're reliable. So it was just not a direction our Arizona Commission was comfortable with at the time. I'm sure over time it'll come up again as different
structures normally do, but not something I think the current commission is supporting.
How about mandates for the big utilities? They have to go within a certain amount of time to a cleaner form of energy. Where are we on that?
Yeah, there are not mandates in the state of Arizona. We've seen over time that that has cost ratepayers billions of dollars. In 2006, there was a renewable energy mandate that 15% of all of the energy would be renewable, so solar or wind. And at the time in 2006, solar was very expensive. So that mandate was put in place to kind of stimulate renewable energy. Fast forward 20 years and, or what has it been, 15 or so years, and APS and TEP have told us in total that's cost ratepayers $2 billion. So you don't have a commission now that's supportive of mandates. Certainly the customers that are coming into the state are driving the clean energy goals, whether it's the data centers or semiconductor business. They are requesting 100% clean energy by a certain year, and the utilities are working very hard to accommodate that. They've set their own goals that you can see on their website. APS has set a goal of 100% clean energy by 2050. TP, I believe, is 70% renewable energy by, I think it was 2035, off the top of my head. So they're certainly going that direction. We want to just know that as they do that, they're not impacting reliability and, again, affordability, that it's being made in a common sense fashion and a way that's considering that solar energy doesn't always work at night, and wind isn't always blowing, so we need to ensure that we have other sources of energy to keep our energy reliable.
That is
a constant conversation we're having.
The thing that bothers me about the wind, those giant wind turbines, is how many of the birds that those things are killing. I don't know if they've come up with any solutions on that, but kind of bothers me.
Yeah, I haven't seen solutions. One thing to know, Arizona is not really much of a wind state. I attend a lot of events and get asked a lot of questions about recycling the wind blades or the birds and so on. New Mexico is actually where a lot of the wind is generated. We're obviously more of a solar state.
All right. Caitlin, any final thoughts for Leah?
Nope, I think I'm all set.
All right. Leah, we're going to let you go. Thank you for taking some time. I know you're very busy with meetings and things up in Phoenix. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Bill, for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Leah Marquez-Peterson, Arizona Corporation Commissioner. And Tom, on the other side of the glass, just pulled up something. Click on that. You brought something up about wind and birds. Yeah. Is it bird friendly? I guess it's not, right? I mean, I don't know if they've been able to come up with any solutions. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, they're working on it.
They
and some people have come up with these vertical designs.
Okay.
Where instead of spinning blades, you have a kind of a vertical rotating type of turbine. And so there's a lot of hope that might be the answer. They call it a vortex bladeless design is one of them, and they're using them over in England, UK, so we'll see.
Good. Thank you. That's why I do this program every day, try to learn something every day. All right. I'll talk a little bit with Caitlin after we take the break right here. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Thanks to Leah Marquez-Peterson. A lot of good information during our two segments with Leah about the Arizona Corporation Commission. Caitlin Schmidt is here from Tucson Agenda. And as we pointed out at the interview, most people have no idea what the Arizona Corporation Commission does. That's why I always like to have Leah on. We can talk about how important the stuff they're doing.
No kidding. Yeah.
Very important stuff. All right. What's going on with the Tucson Agenda? And for those that don't know, you guys, Kurt Prendergast and yourself started this. It's a journalist-owned, you two have been in the business a while, subscription-based online newsletter that's a daily, Monday through Friday, mix of original reporting and a roundup of the best local news from other Southern Arizona outlets. And the good news is you guys are growing.
We are growing. Yes, we just hired a new part-time reporter, Susan Barnett. She used to work for La Estrella de Tucson, which was the sister publication of the Arizona Daily Star. She lost her job during the layoffs, and we are really excited to bring her on board. She's covering South Tucson City Council for us. She's covering election issues through the lens of the needs and issues of Hispanic voters. And she's translating stories into Spanish for us. So that's been great. And we also have this summer four young contributors that are working with us, three reporters and a photographer.
Oh,
finally.
Very good.
Yes. And so this has allowed us to really expand our election coverage. We had that story today about the Marana Town Council. One of our contributors will be covering Oro Valley Town Council. We'll be looking at the school boards. We'll be looking at our big races as well. Kurt's done a great job of interviewing a lot of the supervisor and LD candidates, and I've been leaning into the sheriff and county attorney and JP races. So we're, you know, there are more races than there are reporters in Southern Arizona.
Yes, there are a lot of races.
Yeah, we're trying to help.
So what are the mechanics like of putting this thing together? I mean, the subscribers and the non-subscribers, because you don't really have a paywall, so people get this at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Yep, they get it at 6 a.m. in their inbox. They can share it with people who are not subscribers, mm-hmm. and those people can click and read it online and won't be charged. They can also find it online at tucsonagenda.substack.com and read our stories there. One of the fun new additions, Kurt just created a very, very comprehensive election website with tools for voters to help navigate investigate the various races, analysis, and curated news and coverage of the candidates and issues from local other outlets, similar to what we're doing. So we'll be updating that throughout. And if you're looking for a one-stop election site, that's the place to go.
So these new contributors, are some of them interns?
Yes, we have one that's an intern with the U of A. One is a graduate student with the University of Arizona. One is a new grad. And one is a Northern Arizona University student that's from Tucson, is at home for the summer.
Great. All right. So how do people subscribe?
TucsonAgenda.substack.com. We have a free subscription option, or you can sign up for a paid subscription. We're $12 a month, or about $120 a year. But we will be offering several discounts in the upcoming weeks to celebrate our first birthday next month.
Mm. Are you French? I mean, the agenda, there's an Arizona agenda, and then there's the Tucson agenda. Is this going to be like a franchise? I mean, there'll be like a McDonald's. There's going to be a Albuquerque agenda.
We're going to stick with Arizona first. There are plenty of places in Arizona that need coverage, but yes, we often.
A Flagstaff agenda.
Reading Kurt's mind. Yeah, we hope to, definitely. This is a model that works. It can be recreated and it can be tailored to the community that you're in so that it really serves the need. We're quite different than the Arizona agenda, and that's because what people in Tucson need is different than that audience, and we'd love to take the show on the road.
It is very top heavy with legislative stuff, especially this time of year, which makes sense. They are up in the Capitol. Caitlin Schmidt, always a pleasure, and good luck with the agenda.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Tucson Agenda, easy to find, and I look forward to getting it Monday through Friday. And wait a minute, there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. The Sunday Agenda?
Coming in July, the Sunday Agenda. So sign up for your subscription now. We'll be giving some details about it. But yeah, we have all these new voices, and we're going to start publishing a little more.
Would that be kind of if folks are busy during you'll summarize the week as well, right?
Exactly. Yep. If you missed a day or if you missed the whole week, you can come on Sunday and find a summary of everything we've written about, plus some of the top hits from other outlets.
All right. Thank you very much, Caitlin.
Thanks,
have a great weekend. All right. We've got Weekend Watch with Dan Gibson. Dan is waiting in the wings. We'll be back right after our final break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. It is time for the Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Anytime I can see an 80-degree mark or 89 right now over in Silver City, I'll take it. About a three-hour drive, worth the drive to get to some cooler temperatures. We like to say at least 10 degrees cooler because of the elevation over in Silver City. Lots to do over there as well. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And the host of Weekend Watch is Dan Gibson, who is on our live line right now. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Trying to stay cool like everybody else. So let's see what you've got for the weekend.
That is a mild challenge, yeah, by all means. I'll try to keep it all indoors for people today. I don't know. Have you ever taken the distillery tour at Whiskey Del Bac?
No, I understand their product, though, is outstanding.
It truly is. If you have taken the distillery tour, you have probably met their distillery cat, Turo, who is the mouser-in-chief there. Turo, however, after a decade of hard work, is retiring from Whiskey Del Bac. So they're having a retirement party happy hour for Turo tonight, or today, 3 to 5 p.m., at the Whiskey Del Bac distillery on Forbes, which is Grant and I-10, basically. 2106 Forbes Boulevard. You can get a sticker with Turo's face on it. There's also, I think they're having a toast, things like that. I will miss Turo there. I don't think I'm going to make the going away party, but I hope someone will pet Turo on my behalf and wish Turo the very best in retirement.
How old do you think the Turo is?
I think Turo's like 13. He deserves a break, I think. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, however. Turo's going to move in with the Forbes. They're going to move in with the distiller. So nothing untoward is happening here. Just leaving the whiskey business. Looking for something to do this Saturday night, 6:05 p.m., may I suggest Tucson Sugar Skulls are playing the Frisco Fighters at the TCC Arena. I personally have a lot of animosity in my heart towards the Frisco Fighters. I don't know why, but I mean, I'm really hoping the Sugar Skulls just destroy them. The first 1,000 adults will receive a Sugar Skulls bucket hat. So, I mean, the hottest fashion item certainly will be the Sugar Skulls bucket hat, which also has the logo of the sponsor Scotia Group on it. Kickoff is at 6:05. Doors are at 5:05. Tickets, the prices are all over the place. But an affordable event. Get out there and nice and air-conditioned in the TCC Arena.
So am I to assume these are the Frisco Fighters from San Francisco or Frisco, Texas?
I believe Frisco, Texas, which I like even less. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I hope they send them back in shame. Just break their hearts.
Okay, what else?
One of Tucson's finest bands is playing this evening at Club Congress, Giant Sand, Tucson local legends of Hal Gelb, one of the bands that brought a lot of mainstream attention to Tucson back in the 80s and 90s. They don't play a ton together, so this is actually a unique opportunity to see them. Doors are at 7, show is at 7:30, tickets are $10 in advance, but I think it's the day of the show, it's 15, which is still a great bargain, and I believe inside the club, so that's helpful too. So still air-conditioned musical goodness there at the Hotel Congress.
All right, Dan, I can take another
one more.
Yep.
Perfect. All right, let's do it. One of my favorite movies is showing this Saturday, July 13th, 7:30 p.m. at the Fox Tucson Theater. That would be This is Spinal Tap, the 1982 classic Rob Reiner comedy starring many improv favorites. It is the movie that brought us the idea of This One Goes to 11 and many other deeply humorous moments. Great movie, opportunity to see it, and also the highly air-conditioned Fox Tucson Theater. Tickets are $8. Great opportunity to see a great movie in a great place.
It's cool inside. There used to be signs like that back in the dark ages.
It's true. Yeah, you know, air-conditioned goodness, right?
Yeah. All right, Dan Gibson. Thanks, Dan. Try to stay cool. Thanks a lot.
I'll do my best. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Rose Brandt, my assistant, making sure our podcasts are up in a very timely manner. Engineer producer Tom Fairbanks and the entire team. The entire team at KVOI and Bustos Media. All of us, pretty much the same wish for you. Hope you have a great weekend.